May we pray.
Our Father, may we open our hearts and minds to thy presence, and as we worship thee, may we grow towards a more mature relationship with thee. Amen.
The year 1968 will be noted for the elections, both local and national. Already we have observed the primary elections in other states, and tomorrow we will participate in the primary election in our own state. November of this year will be the time of the national election. These facts have prompted us to choose for this chapel program the theme, Religion and Politics.
Very seldom does a total speech or sermon impress us, but usually it's some individual portion or part of it. So with that in mind, I want to mention just a few quotes and comments from history and from writers and poets about the question of politics, with the hope that this might cause you to think about some particular aspect of a candidate, perhaps, or about someone whom you plan to vote for tomorrow, or some aspect of this year of politics in our country. Aristotle probably was the first to say that man was a political being. Aristotle also made this statement, poverty is a parent of crime and revolution. If liberty and equality, as it is thought by some, are chiefly to be found in democracy, they will be best attained when all persons alike share in the government to the utmost. It's not difficult to compare some of these statements to the problems which we face in 1968. But one of the great difficulties on the part of the voter is to know clearly and specifically what the candidates are advocating. The problem of communication, of ideas. In respect to this, Samuel Johnson said in rebuttal to one of his critics, William Kenrick, in the 18th century, he said about this critic, he is one of the many who have made themselves public without making themselves known. And sometimes it's easy to apply this to some of the candidates. Will Rogers, in this same vein, said, you can't beat an administration by attacking it. You have to show some plan of improving. On the light vein, in this same issue of understanding what the politicians are trying to say to us, and sometimes trying not to say to us, a politician was asked how he stood on an issue. He replied, some of my friends are for it, some of my friends are against it, and I'm for my friends. Perhaps the poet summed all of this problem of understanding and communication in politics and the people, the voters, by saying that words are like leaves, and where they much abound, much fruit of sense beneath is rarely found. But we have a more basic problem to our community and to our responsibility in the primaries and in the future elections. That is the responsibility of how does a Christian respond to this? Fred Eastman, in his work, The Minister in Politics, said, while the churches and politics, They want to help the future conditions of human life and to shape them so that men and women and children may live more abundantly. A layman at a conference on churchmen and citizens gave this quote, "Influencing political life is basically a spiritual matter, and we need to help our ministers to preach a more complete love." Henry David Thoreau, the poet, prayed this prayer, which perhaps might be helpful for us. "Great God, I ask thee for no meaner pelf than that I may not disappoint myself, that in my action I may soar as high as I can now discern with this clear eye." Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "It is impossible to extricate oneself from the questions in which your age is involved. You can do no more, you can no more keep out of politics than you can keep out of the frost." Perhaps we cannot find all of the key issues and the real issues in each candidate. Perhaps we cannot determine exactly what they intend to do. Certainly this is not possible with all the candidates for whom we will be responsible to vote. But Woodrow Wilson said, and I can't help believe with some irony in this, in trying to sum up the issues and simplify them in politics, said, "I know not how better to describe our form of government in a single phrase than by calling it a government by the chairman of the standing committees of Congress." Perhaps we need to see the simpler forms and the simpler, more basic issues when we come to vote as responsible Christians and as responsible citizens. I feel like that we have an insight and perhaps a resource that's not available to other responsible citizens in our country.
I have four different passages of Scripture that I'd like to read, some few verses from each one as pertaining to what God has to say to the people and how the leaders under God went about teaching the people at what they should do. The first passage is from 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, starting with the 10th verse and reading through the 22nd. "So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking a king from him. He said, 'These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be and his horsemen, and to run before the chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. He will take your men servants and your maid servants and the best of your cattle and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. And in that day he will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourself. But the Lord will not answer in that day. But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel, and they said, 'No, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles.' And when Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them to the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken to their voice, and make them a king." Samuel then said to the men of Israel, "Go every man to his city." And we find in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th and the 7th verses. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." And then in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning with the 15th verse, and reading through the 22nd in this. "Then the Pharisees went out and took counsel how to entangle him in his talk. And they set their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and care for no man, for you do not regard the position of men. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the money for the tax. And they brought him a coin. And Jesus said to them, Whose likeness and inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. Then he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away." Then in Ephesians, the 1st chapter, begin again with the 15th verse. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in the heavenly places. For above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." May God add his richest blessings, and may each of us search the scriptures to find what God would have us to do in the year 1968.
May we join together in reading responsively. Selection number 20. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance.
Righteousness is all the nation, but sin is the reproach to him.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power?
Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise for the same, for he is the minister of God to thee for good.
But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil.
Wherefore must he be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake.
Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king.
Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's.
May we pray. Our Father, who has given us this country with its many advantages, we beseech thee that we may prove ourselves worthy of your favor and glad to do your will. Bless our land with sound learning and pure motives. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogancy, and from every evil way. Father, defend our liberties and fashion the multitudes into one united people. Endue us with the spirit of thy wisdom, so that we will direct all our consultations to the advancement of your glory, the good of the church, the safety, honor, and welfare of thy people. We beseech thee that all things may be ordered and settled upon the best and surest foundations, that peace and happiness, truth and justice, religion and piety may be established among all people and for all generations. O God, the fountain of wisdom, whose statutes are good and gracious, and whose law is truth, we beseech thee to guide and bless those of this land in whose hands lies the authority of government, and guide and bless those that are seeking this authority. May each one, be he office holder or candidate, reevaluate his position, and in this reevaluation, may those traits that are undesirable and unchristian be cast aside, and may integrity, Christian love and compassion, and a sense of Christian duty become the foundational planks for his platform. Help them to understand that the real source of their mandate is God. Father, we ask thee to guide the people as they go to the ballot boxes. May they too have integrity and Christian love and compassion. And as they go to the polls, may they have a sense of great privilege and awesome responsibility. We ask these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yea, the world is established, it shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities. All things were created through him and for him.
May we pray. Our Father, we thank thee for our country. We thank thee for the freedom which we have enjoyed while elsewhere in the world nations are being extinguished under the heel of dictators and misguided leaders. Grant that soon peace may reign in all nations and among all peoples, that goodwill will prevail, and all men desire to honor thee. In Christ's name we pray.